Today I want to talk about the responsorial psalm. If you hear God's voice, harden not your heart. But in life we do harden our hearts for many reasons. And we try to justify ourselves when we harden our hearts. Maybe we're upset with someone in the family or with the kids or somebody did to us, or somebody doesn't lend a hand to a neighbor and neighbor is resentful, or somebody who's in the prison doesn't get visited, or someone at the hospital doesn't get visited by people they know. Sometimes there'll be legitimate reasons. Somebody you might not know or you can't go, but in many cases we still harden our hearts. And as we harden our hearts for these reasons, we also harden our hearts for God. Because God is always trying to talk to us, trying to preach his message of love with him, but also with love for one another. We should examine ourselves consciously and say, God, when have I hardened my heart? When have I not been open to listen to you? When have I been mad at a friend or a family member, someone in the parish? When should I learn to forgive, to be open, not to be judgmental, but to have a soft heart? Because when God speaks to us, he speaks to us in love. And when we speak to one another, we should do the same thing, speak out of love and care for one another. So, for my short homily today, my message to everyone here is do a little searching of the soul and see where you are hardening your heart and see where you have to change to make it soft, to listen to God and to others. Amen.
Good morning. It's morning, right? Still? Okay. My name is Michael Batista. I'm a seminarian for the Diocese of Orlando. I'm in my third year formation at St. John Vianney in Miami, Florida. I was here last year for some time. I was here just to do the same thing over a year ago. And sort of, they asked us again to come back to sort of do sort of like a follow-up. See what, you know, your contribution is going to. And so I'm just going to share with you a little concrete example of what your support has done for me and for all the other seminarians in our diocese. We have about 30 seminarians studying at St. Vincent de Paul in Boynton Beach and at St. John Vianney in Miami. This summer, I was asked to go to Omaha, Nebraska, in the middle of nowhere. It's not, I mean, it's a great place, but you have to look for what you want to do, because you drive in and there's nothing there, nothing. Just the baseball stadium where they do the College World Series, that's it. So they asked me, the diocese asked me to go to Omaha to work at a program. It's called IPF, it's short for the Institute of Priestly Formation. It's a program for seminarians throughout the whole country. They come from all over the country to form a spirituality for the diocesan priesthood. For example, the Scalabrinians, they have their sort of charism, spirituality. The diocesan priesthood really doesn't have a spirituality, so they're trying to form seminarians into a spirituality, and the spirituality that we follow is the spirituality of St. Ignatius of Loyola, the Jesuit founder. And so I went, didn't want to go. Father Jorge was like, you're going to Nebraska. I said, no. But I went. I eventually went. My mom forced me to go. And it turned out to be one of the greatest summers of my life. When I was there, I was working. I didn't take any of the courses. I go back there in 2 years to take the courses. But I was part of the team that helped run the program. And just doing that, I received a lot of grace. Just being there serving those guys. We were given, each seminarian was given a spiritual director, somebody who would sit and talk about our relationship with God and where is the Lord leading us and, you know, what are things that we have to work on and so on and so forth. And my spiritual director was Father Pat O'Kane. He's a priest of the Diocese of Sioux Falls, and he's been a priest for 40 years. He celebrated his 40th anniversary when I was at IPF. And Father Pat is suffering from kidney failure, and he's been on dialysis for some time now. And before the summer started, he was in the hospital for over a year, just literally in one room for a whole year, getting medical help and everything. And one day he woke up to find out that his leg was amputated. And he shared this story with me after I gave him my whole heart. I just told him everything, all the stuff that I go through and everything. And he opened himself up to me and told me his story. And then he said, "You know what, Michael? I can sit here and complain. I can sit here and ask God why." And he did, you know. Asking, you know, "I'm such a good priest. Why would you make me lose my leg? Why? Why all this suffering?" But then he told me, he looked at me straight in the eye and he said, "Michael, if I were to have a second chance at life," — we do not believe in second chance, you know, we die and then we go to heaven. Well, he said, he had the second chance, if he was, and so to speak, reincarnated, he would do it all over again. Everything that he went through, he would lose his leg again. And he said that because he did it with Jesus. And that made so much sense for him. That gave him so much peace, consolation. And that's sort of the Christian message, that we do it with Christ. My journey so far in the priesthood has been very, very interesting. And it's been worth it because I do it with him. I walk with him. And the reason why I'm able to form myself to be the man that I need to be for you is because of your support, your contribution to our seminary collection, and most importantly, your prayers. The church needs men who are going to love his people. That's what we need. Times are tough now. You know, our world is changing, and we need people who are not afraid to preach the gospel and to love like Jesus loved. And that was my little short stint. But I also wanted to talk to the confirmandis who will be getting confirmed in a few months. I wish you the best of luck. Know that you have to be praying for you, and know that this isn't graduation. You don't graduate now. Now it's you carry your faith for the rest of your life and walk with Jesus, and trust me, it's worth it. I did it. When I was getting confirmed, I had no idea what I was doing. I actually did not like going to church. I didn't like this place, and now I'm giving myself to it. So it's crazy how God works. It's awesome. So just continue walking with the Lord, trusting in him. And once again, thank you so much for your support of your priests, your future priests. And thank you for your love for the church and for the Lord, and for trusting, you know, your priest here, and for trusting me to one day be somebody who can serve you as your priest. Thank you, and God bless.
And now those who are to be